Welcome to Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, coming to you from the rolling hills of Big Spring Valley in beautiful Alabama. Katherine Lang offers words of encouragement and hope to help grow up lives boldly pursuing peace and joy. Katherine seeks out the rainbows of life while sharing her lollipops of encouragement along her journey. Here on Growing Hope, she features words to help hope and grow courage, all while challenging herself and listeners to radical choices and bold purpose. This is Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, where we are growing hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Katherine Lang.
Hello there, and welcome to this week's trying edition of Growing Hope Radio. I am Katherine Lang, your faithful and faith-filled rainbows and lollipops host, and this week I'm talking again with John Michael Morgan and seeking out the path to our own uniqueness by choosing to step out in blissful unawareness. Today I made a new dish. And as is the custom around this house, everyone got at least a small bite to sample. Now, my youngest son was adamant that he did not like it, even before he tried it, even before we put it on his plate. He said, "I have never liked it." And I went on to explain to him that he couldn't have never liked it because I had never made the dish before. And my husband pointed out that even if I had made the dish before, I never follow the recipe, so it's never the same way twice. And it's true. I'm prone to not following the recipe all that well. I mean, I add a dash of this or I substitute this element for that element as necessary, of course. So most of the dishes I make are not the exact same every single time. But trying is always a good way to find out if you like something at my house. Even if you tried it before, try it again because it's probably different. Amazingly, trying things is the only way that I can get anywhere in my life as well. It's not just about my palate, my taste palate, but it is about my path. Just like my youngest son, sometimes I determine I'm not going to try it because I've already made up my mind about the outcome. Sometimes I may be afraid. Sometimes I may be worried. Sometimes I may be embarrassed. But for whatever reason, I have set in my mind that I'm just not going to try. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. There is only one way to guarantee failure in this life, and it's to not try. As long as I try, I learn something, or I accomplish something, or I at least do something. Trying will make a difference in my journey, and trying is the only way that I'm going to get closer to that place that I desire. I have to try if I want to move forward in my journey to change, in pursuing my path to my unique purpose. Because without trying, I'm stuck where I am. Or worse, I slip back into a place I never wanted to be in the first place. I have to try. And let's be honest, I'm going to do something with my time. So it might as well be something that moves me in the direction that I desire. If I have time, I'm going to fill that time. And if I'm not trying things that build me up or draw me closer to my purpose, then I will fill that time with things that move me away. Sometimes not even intentionally. See, it's when I'm not trying the right things that I begin to make a habit of the wrong things. I understand that I have to find my own way to reach my unique success, but I also understand that I have to try if I want to begin to discover that way and to move in the direction of that success.
And that's, you know, that's the great part to me now about, you know, gosh, talk about something like Netflix, right? Like, you got so many options, but you can find stuff even
that's... It's from the devil. I'm sure it's from the devil.
Sure, it could be, but you can also find you know, I'm like, I've become just like maybe the last 2.5 years into documentaries.
Yes. And they do have some really good documentaries.
They do. And so now all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm learning a lot about stuff. I mean, some of it's weird. Like, I have a bit of insomnia going on recently. And so a couple nights ago at 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. or something, I'm up watching a documentary on prisoners who are in solitary confinement. And my wife wakes up and she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know, but this is fascinating. And I now could tell you all about our prison system and how it works. Yeah. And, you know, all this stuff down that's not going to do me any good in life. But
you
at least
don't
I
know that. See, that could be something where you take that and you look at how people are living their life and they're actually in solitary confinement because they have shoved themselves so far into a box they can't breathe.
That's right. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing is, you know, now what I find is, you know, people fascinate me.
Right.
You know, why we do make decisions, why people make the choices they make, or how they justify them is sometimes even more interesting.
Yes, I agree.
Because, you know, I think that falls into what you're talking about of, you know, falling into the box thing. It's kind of like there's, you know, the story goes around a lot, which I don't even know if it was ever true, but it's a good point, which is, you know, two brothers grow up in the, you know, same house. Very much a broken home, parents in and out of jail, you know, drug addicts, you know, all of those kind of things. One brother ends up spending life in jail. The other one goes on to become a multimillionaire. And when they interviewed each brother and said, okay, explain it, each one had the same answer, which was, what other choice did I have?
Right.
You know, one just accepted, this is the way it is. I guess I'm going to be a criminal too. You know, my parents are messed up, so I got to be messed up, you know, kind of a thing, and fall into that victim mentality.
Right. Yes.
And then the other one was like, okay, I'm not going to do that, and actually felt, no way will I do that, you know, and did whatever it took to make sure he was far removed from that, right? And so I think that's the thing sometimes is, you know, gosh, what are we being a victim about? And that's where, you know, and I can talk to you about this, because some people sort of get weird or uncomfortable about it is, you know, I look back to every story in the Bible and think, you know, when did God, Jesus ever treat anyone like a victim?
Right.
You know, that's, you know what I mean? It's not the case. And so that's always like, I have to remind myself of that because again, you know, I'll play victim to that very, you know, easily. I think we all do, but we have to be self-aware and look for those things. And again, that's in everything, just as a parent, as a spouse, as a friend, you know, as a church member, as a, you know, business leader, whatever you are, you've got to figure that out.
It's interesting that you brought that up because, you know, choosing to see the possibility is something that I've always taught my kids and I've always been pushing my kids to be because my husband came from a very negative background. And just recently we ran into a situation where what is the possibility here? And finally, I came to the realization that maybe the possibility is you're not supposed to be in that.
Mm.
Maybe it's time to look and see what doors this is opening. Because again, we get caught up in this is how we've always done it.
Right. That's what's funny is how many people want dramatic change. But yet, the moment change starts happening, they put on the brakes.
Right. Yes.
And that's ultimately where, and you saw me, you know, say this on stage at an event. It's always one of those things I try to put in every talk I do, but you never know how people are going to respond to it because it's a little bit in their face. But ultimately, we are all exactly where we want to be.
Yes. Yes. You know, I wrote that one down.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. That's a hard pill to swallow. But it's the truth. You know, if we were truly fed up and uncomfortable with our life or a situation in our life, we would be making the steps to change it.
Right.
And so that's the thing is so many people are like, okay, if I could wave a magic wand, I would change this and I would change that. And I want to say, no, you wouldn't. Because you've got the freedom to make those changes now.
Right.
You know, but you don't do it. I had a person who, a friend of mine from church, came up to me and said, hey, can you pray for me? I'm really hoping to get this job promotion because it'll be a good raise. And I think I can, you know, do that role. And I said, wonderful. I said, tell me, you know, what it's about and what you've done, you know, to just, you know, to make that happen. And he was like, I haven't done anything. I'm like, okay. And he was like, you know, I've been there this number of years, whatever. So I was like, okay, that's interesting. Cool. You know, but I'll pray for you. A couple months later, I run into him and I say, hey, did, you know, follow up, like, tell me what happened. Like, did you ever get that? He said, no, it went to someone else. And I said, oh. And then what ends up happening is, while I'm having this conversation with him, his wife is talking to my wife and tells her that at no point did he ever let his boss know that he wanted the job.
Oh, my goodness.
So the boss gave the promotion to the only guy in the company who said, I'll do it. Right? Yeah. And so it's those kind of things I'm talking about where I think, you know, look, it's great to pray and let God open these doors and, you know, do the stuff for us. But also, you know, there's faith within works, right? I think right. God sometimes like, okay, yeah, pray, ask me about it, but I'd like to see a little effort on your part,
you know,
to do this. And sometimes we miss that. Right. And that's, you know, I don't know, it's a frustrating thing, but I see people who get stuck in that pattern repeatedly.
Right. And the being a homeschool parent, I think that I see more out-of-the-box living than parents that deal with the public school system, just from, because we go to church, almost everybody we go to church with is in the traditional schooling atmosphere, mm-hmm. and we are the outside, we've always been the outsiders. Now that I think about it, even in my own family, I was not, I just was never a box person, and so my kids have been fortunate. They don't even think about this is how it's supposed to be done. They think about how am I supposed to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, that's what we're designed to live out, a unique life. I can listen to you and I can gain from your wisdom and your insight and your experience, but I can't walk your road.
You know, that's a great point. And I love using the homeschooling part as an example because it shocked a lot of our friends and our family that my wife and I were going to homeschool.
Right.
And, you know, they were all questioning because in my town, you've got some schools that are great, like in the public school system, and then some, of course, that, you know, just aren't, like a lot of them. And so it wasn't like, you know, oh, you know, we live in an area where the schools are really bad. So, right. Yeah, don't send them to school. So my family was confused, you know, and my mom had the, well, it was good enough for you, you know, kind of a thing. And I'm like, well, that's because you wouldn't have homeschooled me. But, you know, anyways,
right.
You know, just trying to explain it. But the thing is that, you know, my wife and I were talking through is what's the one thing that really annoys like every parent? It's when our kids are like 4 to 6 years old and they never stop asking us questions.
Right.
But then they get to school and the question asking stops.
Yeah.
Because the school teaches them to stop asking questions, you know, and let's just fall into this. But I mean, if anyone, you know, just does a simple Google search on the history of public schools, you'll see it was founded for factories.
Right.
They needed people to work that. So they were built to look that way, to run on the same schedule and, you know, all of these kind of things. And so, you know, my issue wasn't anything of, oh, I don't want my kids, you know, the violence at schools or bullying or any of that. Like,
right,
there was
right.
none of that. Mine was simply, I went through, you know, like, I went to 8 different schools when I was growing up, and nowhere in any one of those grades or schools did they ever say, let's talk about success.
Wow.
And I thought, how am I going to send my kids to school for 12 years and it's not going to teach them how to be successful?
Wow.
Like, I just couldn't do it. And I mean, my wife and I were both like, okay, yeah, we're not smart enough to teach our kids, so we don't know how this is going to work. But, you know, we just sort of prayed and, you know, committed to it. And it's been wonderful to see because my wife is, I mean, she does all of it, but she has found her thing.
Right.
Right. You know, all of a sudden she's like, I think I was meant to do this. Like, this is, you know, she loves it. And my son is loving it and taking to it. And, you know, it's just, again, it's one of those things where exactly what you're saying of, you know, everyone else on the outside can say, oh, well, that's weird. And it's like, okay, you know, but weird compared to what?
Right.
Because, you know, sending my kids off every single day to me would be weird.
Yes. Yes. And
I don't know. I just ranted about, you know, everyone now whose kids are in public school is going to hate me, but.
But no, it's about finding your unique path. We all have got to quit saying it has to be done this way. We have to be bold enough to say, it may never have been done that way before, but it's time to try it.
You know, that's a great point. And I think my thing with, you know, here's the problem to me with, and we'll continue using schools as an example. What happens is parents send their kids to school and it's now, you know, okay, it's the school's job to teach them.
Right.
Which now means that the parents stopped teaching their kids.
Right.
So they've delegated that part out.
Now we do it at our churches too.
Well, oh, I was going to say, absolutely. We do it at church. We do it in business. That's what happens. Right. And so what happens then is it's always, let me push it on everywhere else.
Right.
And remove all the responsibilities that I may have. But then we sit around and we get bored because we don't have that many responsibilities on our plate. And once we're bored, we go and find bad habits.
Yes.
You know, and those kind of things. Someone once was talking to me about, you know, gosh, you know, and I understand that, you know, a lot of men today are struggling with addictions to pornography. And a guy had, you know, was in this sort of situation. He was confessing about it, talking about, you know, spending 5-6 hours a day on, and I'm thinking, who has time? Like, dude, like, your first problem is you're bored.
Yeah, you got too much time.
Yeah, yeah, like, 5 or 6 hours. Like, I wish I had 5 or 6 hours free in any given day.
So
like,
the only days you have 5 or 6 hours free are when you don't sleep.
Right, exactly. I'm like, what in the world? Like, how is that even happening? You know, just forget the pornography. Like, tell me how you got the 5 hours free. Like,
well,
you know, that's what I want to know.
You live in the South. You know, everybody in the South has 5 to 6 hours free every weekend.
That is certainly true. And so that's what happens is we so often just, like I said, we get caught in this routine and we then sometimes don't, like, we truly don't know how to break out of it often,
right.
Or we start to see how to break out of it, but we're so used to the routine, now we're afraid.
Right. But it goes back to, you can break out of it when you make those connections that challenge you to break out of your box, to be bold in your actions, to be different in your choices, so that you can create the change that you know in your heart you want and get the courage to pursue.
You know, that's exactly right. And I think about, you know, I've been in business and marketing for 12, 15 years now, somewhere in there. And so what happens in that is you test all the time.
Right.
You know, you're constantly testing ads, testing commercials, you know, testing it, you know, the copy. You're trying to figure out what works and what doesn't.
Right.
But in our own lives, we don't ever want to test.
Right.
And I think, you know, sometimes, wow, you know, again, like, let's even take that church. You know, how many pastors are too afraid to test their congregation?
Right.
Oh, what if I said it this way on Sunday? What happens then?
Yeah, what if they tell me I have to leave?
Right. And, you know, it's, we recently at my church, very, very sad, last fall, our pastor passed away. And he was a great man, great mentor to me. And he had a very, very rare form of cancer. We knew for a little over a year that, you know, the diagnosis was not good.
Right.
And basically, by kind of having that going on, as he, you know, would preach on Sundays, you know, he almost had this I'm going down swinging mentality. And it was like, you know, he was just hitting every topic that maybe he wouldn't have done, you know, before.
Right.
Like, you know, especially, you know, the very like, okay, this is going to make people mad. Let's talk about alcohol. Let's talk about homosexuality. Let's, you know.
I'm surprised you didn't talk about gluttony.
Right. Yeah. And what happened is we had this summer of incredible sermons that I thought the church would have never tried.
Right.
Otherwise. And unfortunate, the, you know, we had that situation, but wow, what a blessing that happened, right? That we did get to see what that looks like. And hopefully when we find a replacement, it'll be someone who's willing to step out sometimes. And then hopefully as a congregation, we say, okay, that didn't work, but we still like you. You know, let's keep trying, right? Because like you said, you know, we've got to try those new things and everything. Think about, you know, a married couple who right now is just going through, you know, constant, you know, bickering and arguing. Obviously, their communication lines are messed up, but they're both afraid to test something new.
Right.
And you know, because what if it doesn't work? And, you know, ultimately, you also, you know, you got to give that other person grace a little bit, too, to say, okay, I know you're trying stuff. Let's see what works, what doesn't, you know, those kind of things. I'm one of those people that if I'm in an argument, I want to make a joke to kind of, you know, break it up. And my wife is one of those people that if I'm arguing with her and I joke, I'm not taking her seriously.
Yes.
So I've learned, okay, let me test what kind of jokes work. The answer is none, by the way. But I finally learned that. And, you know, and I told her one time, I'm like, listen, I'm trying to work out this whole how to argue, you know, kind of thing. And so let's, you know, as I test different stuff, give me a little patience,
yeah,
you know, with it, because I'm going to say a lot of stuff I probably shouldn't.
Yeah, so we have the opposite scenario in my household, because my husband's the very, very serious, very intense, and unfortunately for him, all of the children inherited my snarky sense of humor, especially when in confrontation. So it has been,
right.
Yeah, it's been very interesting for him. But it goes, I think the reason, and it may not be the same in your house, but one of the reasons I do look for the sense of humor in the situation is because even in a fight, there is some hope.
Right.
And I find my hope the fastest when I smile.
Mm.
And that may be why I default there. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a great thing. And I think that, you know, again, like, so it's really funny when my wife and I argue, is I'm like really quick to get over things because I want to just get on and like, let's do the next thing. So
all
we can,
men are like that. Just go ahead and accept it.
For sure. So we can fight and then I'll be, okay, so that was cool. What do you want to have for dinner?
Right.
And she's like, I need time to get over this.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know what? We're still going to be married next week. We're still going to be married, you know, 5 years from now. Why waste time? Like, let's just get over it. You're not going to be mad at me forever. I'm not going to be mad at you forever. You know, let's just go. And she's like, you know, that's not how this works. You know, but I struggle with that, right? And so, again, that's where I got to learn, okay, let me test some new stuff.
Right.
You know, let me figure out this communication thing a little more. And, you know, again, that's with everything, whether, you know, whatever kind of career we're in, we're just always afraid to test stuff because we've got this what if it doesn't work mentality instead of saying what if it does.
I tell people that the only way to fail, there's only one way to fail, and that's to not try. Everything else, you're just learning something.
Yeah, I agree with that. I have, you know, often sat here for, you know, I've started doing stuff basically as an entrepreneur when I was a teenager, and sometimes people will come to me and say, okay, what's the secret to your success? And of course, there's not a secret, but the real thing is if there's one advantage that I have had, let's say, over some other people, would be I don't know how to quit.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's it. I mean, I just do not know how to quit. Now, there's been situations where I should have quit, right, and I was too dumb to realize that and, you know, too proud or whatever. But it's, you know, it's why I'm here today. I just won't quit. I'll keep going until I finally figure it out.
My dad said the same thing about my younger brother, because I was trying to figure out, he played basketball in college.
Mm.
My brother is 5'6".
Wow.
But he got a college basketball scholarship, and I asked my dad why did he do that? Because my older brother and I do not have that same focus as my younger brother, and he said it was just because he didn't know any other way. Somebody told him he couldn't, and therefore he had to prove him that he could, and once he decided he could, he was going to. There's
right.
No other option.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's that I love that story. It reminds me when I was in real estate, there was a guy that, you know, came in the business and just had success right out of the gate. And this was a time when the average real estate agent was selling 2 to 4 homes a year.
Wow.
And he sold 100 his first year. And at a conference, he was asked, you know, how did you do that? And, you know, were the rest of us, you know, could only sell 2-3 homes our first year. You know, how did you do this? And his response was, I didn't know it was supposed to take that long.
It's like the bumblebee. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to fly.
Right. You know, just, you know, this blissfully unaware, you know, kind of a thing.
But maybe we need to live that way. We need to live so blissfully unaware of consequences that we try anything.
Well, you know, that's exactly right. And I think about this, you know, in all aspects of my life. So it's easy for me in business to just try something, to test something, to see if it works. And, you know, you were talking about, you know, you and I met because I was speaking at an event. I can't tell you how many times since 2002 that I've stood on stage and said something I shouldn't have, you know, something that made someone mad or, you know, upset someone. I mean, it certainly happened, but also I'm figuring out what worked and what didn't.
Right.
And, you know, that was really priceless for me to figure out. And so in business, that stuff's easy. But then also, like I said, you know, even in our relationships and those kind of things, one of the things that I struggle with personally that I'm really, really working on is, you know, in my career, one of the things that I'm doing is I'm holding people accountable.
Yes.
And so calling them out on, okay, you said you wanted to do X, but you're acting like you want to do Y. You know, we need to change that, is what they're paying me for, right? That's like why people, you know, follow me online and all those things.
Right.
You then put me into a situation where, okay, I'm in a small group at church and all of a sudden, you know, I'm trying to hold people accountable when that's not what they signed up for.
They didn't ask for that.
Right. Yeah. And so it's like, you know, oh, okay. You know, they're not wrong. I just need to learn when it's welcome and when it isn't.
Right.
You know, and like I said, you know, just figuring out, okay, what works and what doesn't, or maybe I can still hold them accountable, but in a different way.
Right.
You know, and those kind of things. You know, in the business world, I'm praised for being, you know, to the point and not having a filter. In, you know, a casual, you know, dining situation, that becomes, you know, who is this guy, right? You know, and my wife, you know, cringing about what I'm possibly going to say the whole time. So it's, you know, again, it's, okay, how do I figure that out? How do I test those things? And, you know, so it really just, all of this that we're talking about, you know, really boils down to being very self-aware of, this is what I want in life, and then am I acting in a way that's going to lead to that or not? Because every thought and every action we do either moves us one step closer or one step further away from the life that we want.
Thank you so much to John Michael Morgan for taking time out to visit with me. You know, I need a reminder that it is up to me. I am the one that will drive me closer to my success, and I am the one that will pull me away from that same success. It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. Every thought and every action that I have or that I do will move me one step closer to where I want to be, or they will move me one step farther away. But it is all on me. And that can be a very empowering place to find myself, because I am the only one standing in my way. It can also be a terrifying place to find myself, because I can no longer pass the buck to anyone else. I have to get to a place of recognizing that it is up to me to create my own success. If I choose to see it as an empowering place, then I begin to increase my ability to be bold in my pursuit. I no longer get caught up in the limitations that others set, because my only limitations are me. I no longer get tied up in the expectations of the world, because my expectations become the measuring point. I think that when I arrive at this place of empowerment, of empowered understanding, that I'm walking down my path blissfully unaware. It's like that cartoon where the person's walking along and all the things are happening around them. You know, things are falling or potholes are just being covered up right in time. The character never notices anything, never notices the near misses, never notices the close calls, because he is so focused on his path and his purpose. I need to get there. I need to be in a place like that, a place of a focus that is so intense that the distractions, they can do nothing to get me off track. If I will grow up that kind of focus, then I will be able to take on whatever tries to block or hinder my path, even when that thing is me. John Michael Morgan has been an amazing motivation for me on this journey to find my unique place and to step out in trying. John is the founder of the Achievers Alliance, which is a personal development coaching program designed to equip leaders. Leaders in the home, in the business, in an organization, even in the church. John helps to equip these leaders and entrepreneurs with the tools they need to achieve their unique success. You can learn more about John by visiting his website, www.johnmichaelmorgan.com, or www.theachieversalliance.com. You can also find your copy of his best-selling book, Brand Against the Machine, at his website. I do hope that you will take some time today to connect more with John Michael Morgan, because he is an inspiration and he's a motivation, And he is a great encouragement. And it is so important to find encouragement. Because a little encouragement goes such a long ways in our lives. The more people that I can connect with and the more places that I discover to find encouragement and to fill my encouragement tank, then the more I'm going to be armed to take on my purpose. And that's really what it's all about, arming up to take on our unique purpose. Now, Growing Hope Radio is going to take a quick break. But when we return, we're going to begin talking a little bit more about how to take on this journey down this path of being blissfully unaware by perfecting the art of trying. Growing Hope Radio will be back after these messages.
Christian Women Affiliate is a free community for Christian women who seek to be all that God has called them to be, with many affordable services including radio and webinar hosting and an outstanding review crew. You have many exciting opportunities for promoting your message. Join Christian Women Affiliate today and make quality connections that lead to mentoring and resources that complement your calling and impact our world. Visit ChristianWomenAffiliate.com today. The music is created by Heather McLeod and Competech.com and is licensed
under Creative Commons by Attribution. Hello again and welcome back to Growing Hope Radio. I am still Catherine Lang, your Rainbows and Lollipops host, because I know the power of hope. And because I know the power of hope, I am constantly seeking out the hope and the possibility in whatever situation I face. Now, I don't always succeed in my pursuit of a focus on hope and possibility. Believe me, there are those times when I miss completely. Sometimes I get annoyed, and that annoyance shifts my attention to the negative. And sometimes I stumble, and that stumble shifts my attention to the problems. And sometimes I just get tired. You know, that place of just too tired to care? And no matter what's going on, I promise you, too tired to care is never a good place to be. But I'm learning that no matter what I come up against, I need to continue to make an effort to try. To just put that next foot forward. And as long as I continue to try, then those moments of annoyance or stumbling or tired, they become less and less, and they have less effect on my journey. Every time that I try, I come a little bit closer to my success, because as long as I keep on trying, I can never fail. Now, I may not hit the bullseye every time, and sometimes I might not even hit the target. But as long as I keep trying, then I'm learning something for my efforts. Remember this if you remember nothing else from today. The only way to fail is to not try. So I keep on trying. And today, I'm sharing my trying journey with you. And I'm also growing up my own understanding of how to get to a focused place, a place so focused that I become blissfully unaware of the stuff around me, so that not trying is no longer an option. I have to try because I'm so focused on what it is I'm wanting to try. I've also discovered in my trying attempts that it's a whole lot easier to try when I have determined that I must try. When anything less than trying has become unacceptable, I've become uncomfortable where I am. There are the moments, these are those moments, those rock bottom moments, those there is no way but up moments. And I managed to get my focus in the right place on trying, my focus on what I want to accomplish. And then I put my energy into trying, and then I begin to follow boldly in those steps of trying. See, really, it all comes back to focus and being blissfully unaware of the negatives and the situations. I watched a television show recently, and the storyline was about this young girl who had never been around horses, but she was a natural on horseback. And she would ride horses that were not considered rideable by others, mainly because she didn't know she wasn't supposed to be able to ride them. She would also jump big fences and jump those jumps that even experienced riders were hesitant to jump, because she didn't know that it was dangerous. The girl was blissfully unaware of the limitations, and therefore the limitations had no effect on her. The other day I was walking with my dog through the field, and I watched my dog walk right over a snake that was bathing on the path. The snake didn't flinch, and my dog didn't even slow down. They were both doing their own things, and the actions and behaviors of the others had no effect on them. They were both blissfully unaware of the actions that the other made. See, it's not always easy to get there, but we do all get there. I know there have been moments when I would be caught up in my work, so caught up, and even in the center of the house with all the action going all around me, I was blissfully unaware of what was going on. And there have been times when I was so caught up in my own thoughts that someone behind me had to honk to get me moving again when the light turned green. I was blissfully unaware of my surroundings. So in my journey to become blissfully unaware or to become so focused on my unique purpose that nothing else can get my attention, I'm going to begin moving down this path of perfecting the art of trying. Here are my five ideas. The first is to stop listening to the negatives, or better yet, just stop collecting limitations. The more I focus on what I'm not supposed to be able to do, the more I listen to what the naysayers have to say, or the more I'm told about what I can or can't accomplish, then the more I will find I can't do things or I can't accomplish things because these limitations I've given them control. So stop listening to the negative. Second, stop focusing on the need for perfection and begin to accept that a willingness to try is often enough. Third, start building up determination. So you got to begin to hone in on the purpose behind the actions or the why of the try. Fourth, start seeing the possibility of just the experience. Begin to recognize the benefits that come just from the effort involved in trying. And five, just show up. Take a step, make a move, do something. Just showing up can make a huge difference when it comes to walking down the path blissfully unaware. I know that it's possible to walk out a blissfully unaware life, unaware of the limitations or the hindrances or the traps that are snapping around me. I have to find my way to focused and determined actions that will keep me moving along. Now, Growing Hope Radio has to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking more about these five ideas that will help me with my attempts to grow up into being blissfully unaware and perfecting the art of trying in my life. Growing Hope Radio will be right back, and we will continue on this trying journey after these brief messages. This is your Growing Hope Scripture Focus. Each week I will share with you a favorite Bible verse, and I will challenge you to memorize and study that verse over the next 7 days. By putting the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds with consistency, those words will settle in and they will begin to grow fruit that shows forth in our own words and in our actions. This week's verse is Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. See, my focus will make all the difference. If I'm focused on the things of this world, then I will pursue the things of this world. If I am focused on the things of the Spirit, then I will pursue the things of the Spirit. What I choose will direct my steps, and each step that I take will either lead me closer to my purposeful design, or it will take me farther from that place in purpose. It all comes down to two choices, either the flesh and the world, or the Spirit and God. This has been your Growing Hope Scripture Focus.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution.
There will always be an excuse. There will always be a reason not to keep going. There will always be something that tries to hinder my journey. In truth, the only thing that gets in the way of the journey looks back at me from the mirror every day. I am the only person, the only thing, that can hinder my success. Place and Purpose is a book that offers my own experiences with discovering that unique path and uncovering the truth that they don't hold the answers to my journey. I break it down to four simple questions: why, what, how, and when. When you answer these questions for yourself, then you will be closer to that unique place designed just for you. Here are some of the things that are being shared about Place and Purpose. Catherine shares many ways that you can get closer to God and begin to identify that missing part of your life. Place and Purpose offers practical tips for digging into a personal relationship with God so that I can recognize His purpose for my life. Catherine Lang has filled this book with wonderful advice for beginners, but also practical advice for the seasoned believer. Get your copy of Place and Purpose by visiting www.catherinelang.com/books and begin to answer the why, what, how, and when of your journey.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution.
Welcome back to Growing Hope Radio, where I, Catherine Lang, your Rainbows and Lollipops host, I am seeking out a path to become blissfully unaware. Now, this is not about ignoring reality, but about changing it. Being blissfully unaware is about pushing aside the limitations of the world or the negatives of the circumstances and moving forward towards my purpose, towards a purpose, in purpose. See, today is about perfecting the art of trying so that each purposeful choices for our journey. Now, before the break, I shared my five ideas for this journey into becoming blissfully unaware. 1, stop listening to the negatives and stop collecting limitations. 2, stop focusing on the need for perfection. 3, start building up determination. 4, start seeing the possibility. And 5, just show up. Now, it may seem counterintuitive to pursue a life being blissfully unaware when we're trying to live in purposeful choices. The scripture tells us that we're supposed to be alert and to be watching. But remember, this idea of being blissfully unaware, it's different from not paying attention. It is about paying such close, focused attention in the right things that the wrong things can't be distractions. So the first idea I have for getting to this place of being blissfully unaware is to stop listening to the negatives. Stop giving up that power to other people and the media outlets. They have no authority over me. My journey is between me and my Maker, and between us only. Each one of the negatives, they possess limitations, or they put limitations on my journey. And limitations do not make the way for trying. If I stop listening to what they have to say, then maybe, just maybe, I will be able to hear what God has to say. Stop gathering up the limitations so that you can be free to fly. The second idea I have for growing up to being blissfully unaware is to get over the need for perfection. I will not always get it just right. Others will not always get it just right. And believe me, they will definitely not get it just right my right way. See, this is a journey. And that means that there are going to be bumps in the road that weren't seen. And there are going to be things that come up, or something's going to be spilt or dropped or messed up. But the journey is what makes it worthwhile. I have to make an effort to see the biggest picture instead of developing the tunnel vision that keeps me from experiencing all that there is for my life. So first, stop gathering up limitations, and second, stop expecting perfection. Which leads us to the things that I need to start doing if I'm going to perfect my art of trying. And that's first one is to start building up the determination. Now, I've been talking most of my life about the desire to write, but I finally determined a decade ago to begin pursuing that dream. And it wasn't about going to the right school or knowing the right people or even being at the right event. It turns out that a lot of it began to happen the moment I determined to make it happen. I became a writer when I determined that I was going to be a writer. A lot of the journey is about the determination. I have to start gathering up the determination that will drive me to that destination, because determination fuels the ability to try. So first, stop gathering limitations and stop expecting perfection, and then start growing up determination. As I begin to get these ideas in line, then I will be able to follow through on the fourth idea, which is to start seeing the possibilities. Every moment of every day presents me with plenty of possibilities, if I'm willing to look for the possibilities. When I look for the possibilities, then the problems of any shape or size will no longer have a hold or control on my journey. The possibilities free me up to try even more than I ever imagined. And these possibilities are only limited by my own vision. So stop gathering limitations and stop expecting perfection, and instead start growing up determination and start seeking out the possibilities. And most importantly, is the fifth idea, and that is to just show up. I will never win a race that I haven't entered. I have to be there. And sometimes that first act, that first step of just being there, will open the way for the next step. So that's it. My five simple ideas that will make the way for being blissfully unaware. 1, stop listening to the negative and stop collecting limitations. 2, stop focusing on the need for perfection. 3, start building up determination. 4, start seeking the possibility. And 5, just show up. It's not that I'm ignoring reality. It's that I'm defining that reality on my own terms, through the eyes of the master, not the limitations of the world. It's not that I'm denying the truth, it's that I'm seeing the divine truth and allowing that to form my ideals and make my way. I am here in this world, but I'm not of this world. I know that there are people out there that want things. I get that. There's the bill collector and there's the boss. The world's throwing down gauntlets and digging trenches. But that is not what being blissfully unaware is about. It's about my determined focus on my unique purpose. A focus that is so intense that nothing, not the world or all of its noise, nothing can keep me from staying on the path. Nothing is going to push me off or get me out of that direction. I keep trying despite the naysayers or the mistakes or the stumbles or the trials. I just keep trying because I understand that with each step of trying, no matter how perfect or successful or seemingly beneficial that step, or how no matter how not perfect, each step brings me one step closer to where I know I'm supposed to be. And when I am blissfully unaware of these distractions, of all this going on around me, then I can keep on trying. Now, Growing Hope Radio has to take one more break, but when we return, I'm going to share a few scriptures that are helping me in my journey to continue finding this place of being blissfully unaware. Growing Hope Radio will be back after these brief messages.
Travel along with Cal, Press, and Spencer as they search the Alabama Gulf Coast, Gulf Shores, and Fort Morgan to Dolphin Island, Fort Gaines, for a treasure hidden away by centuries.
You dare uncover the secrets held by Mystery Rock? Come along in Catherine C. Lang's new middle school tourism fictional novel series, Scouting Out Adventure. Get the first book, Mystery Rock, in paperback an ebook at Amazon.com or KatherineLang.com.
This is the Growing Hope Review. Each week I will share with you one of my favorite Bible studies, books, movies, or even television shows, and I will tell you why it moved me to share. Although I know we each get something different out of the things that we encounter, I also know that when we are moved by words, then others are likely to be moved as well. This week's review is on the book Tough Times Never Last, But Tough People Do by Robert H. Schuller. I've read the book several times over the years, and each time it's offered me some encouragement and motivation for my own life. Tough times happen for all of us, and sometimes those tough times can be overcome. But sometimes they just have to be managed. Schuller provides personal experiences where he has done both. There are many ideas and concepts throughout this book, but two of them stood out for me. One was the idea of count to 10 and win, and the other was beginning is half done. The first, count to 10 and win, explains that if you break down the situation into 10 possible answers, then you can begin to see that it's not as impossible as it once felt. The second idea is that beginning is half done, because if you never start, you will never get there. And once you do start, the next step is just a little easier because of the momentum that comes from starting. Tough Times Never Last, But Tough People Do is available at Amazon.com in paperback and hardback editions. The book runs around 240 pages. Now, I've read it on my own, and I've read it as a study book for a Bible study. It's a great motivation for anyone looking for a little extra boost. This has been the Growing Hope Review.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution.
Got hope? Growing Hope seeks to instill the courage that your heart needs to live out the bold life grounded in hope. The monthly newsletter offers tips, inspirational stories, and scriptures to help grow up hearts that are open to pursue the extraordinary. Visit KatherineLang.com/promotion and sign up and receive a moment of hope, the Growing Hope monthly newsletter.
The music for this production was created by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution.
Welcome back to this final segment in today's trying edition of Growing Hope Radio. I am still Katherine Lang, your blessed and determined Rainbows and Lollipops host. And today is the trying edition because we're talking about getting so focused we're blissfully unaware of the things going on around us that are hindering this journey. And when I'm blissfully unaware, then I can try things that might be considered impossible by others. Before the break, I shared my 5 ideas for growing up to this place of being blissfully unaware. 1, stop listening to the negatives and collecting limitations. 2, stop focusing on the need for perfection. 3, start building up determination. 4, start seeing the possibility. And 5, just show up. And I shared my thoughts on how these ideas can make a way for me to begin perfecting the art of trying. And I admitted that a lot of it, like so much of this journey in my life, it comes back to focus. And scripture backs up this idea, because with the right focus, not only can I try what others think impossible, but I can walk on water. See, in Matthew 14, Mark 6, and John 6, we're provided with an account of just such a focus. The apostles have been having a rough night fighting the storms, and then Jesus walks up on the water, and Peter says, "Hey, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come to you." And Jesus said, "Come to me," because after all, it was Jesus. And Peter jumped right out of the boat and started walking towards Jesus. Peter walked on water because he had a focus on Jesus and was blissfully unaware of the worldly reality that was surrounding him, at least for a moment. But then he took his eyes off Jesus and focused on the storms, and that is when he began to sink. But when his focus was on Jesus, Peter did the impossible. So I have to have my focus on Jesus. In Colossians 3:2, Paul tells us to set our affections on the things above and not on the things of this earth. Our affections, that is our thoughts and even our emotions, they need to be focused on God. Our minds need to be in agreement with God's will. We need to be working towards harmony with God. And interestingly, when I have the peace that comes from harmony with God, then I will be bolder in my attempts to try what I am led to do. One of my favorite verses, Philippians 4:8, stresses the importance of the right focus. It says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue and any praise, think on these things. See, the positives make way for the possibilities. Now, Paul often used racing analogies or exercising analogies to try and help the readers understand this journey that we're on. And in 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, and I'm using the Amplified translation here, do you not know that in a race all runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Paul says run, which can be translated in our case as try. We need to try what it is that we're uniquely designed to do so that we can reach the goals, the place that God has designed uniquely for us. Proverbs has a way of cutting right to the chase. And in Proverbs 14:23, the idea of trying, or more importantly, of just doing something, is made crystal clear. Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there is profit, but idle talk leads only to poverty. See, there really is benefit to all this trying. There is benefit to just trying. See, it may not make it sense. It may not make it obvious. It may not be something that we completely understand in the beginning, but the benefit is there. And the more I keep trying, the more that is there. Proverbs 12:24 also states that the hand of the diligent will rule, but the slothful will be put to forced labor. When I'm determined in my pursuit of my unique purpose, and when I make the choice to continue to try the things that are leading me down this path, and when I continue trying because I'm caught up in being blissfully unaware of the distractions of the world, then I rule. And that's a pretty good reason all by itself just to get to trying. Now, I want to thank you so much for joining me for today's trying edition of Growing Hope Radio. I know that I am determined to try something today that I may not have tried yesterday. I'm going to stretch from where I am so that I can get closer to where I know I'm supposed to be. And my prayer is that you will find your own way to being blissfully unaware so that you can be bold in trying. Now, if you have any questions or comments about today's show, please feel free to email me at radio@katherinelang.com, or you can also use the contact form on the website, which is www.katherinelang.com/contact. Remember, you can also find me all around social media. I'm always under Katherine C. Lang. At Facebook, I'm me, Katherine C. Lang. Twitter, it's at Katherine C. Lang. Google Plus, it's the plus symbol Katherine C. Lang, and YouTube, it's again the Katherine C. Lang. Until next week, be blessed and be a blessing.
Thanks for joining us this week for Growing Hope with Katherine Lang. Katherine is a leader in encouragement, a networking specialist, and your Hope Smith extraordinaire. To learn more about Growing Hope, visit Katherine's website at www.katherinelang.com. That's www.katherinelang.com. Katherine is also available to speak or teach at your next event. use the contact form on the website or email Catherine with queries or questions at contactus@catherinelang.com. If you are looking for more hope and inspiration for your week, you can sign up for the Reflections column that mails out each Sunday at www.catherinelang.com/reflections. And be sure to join us back here each week for Growing Hope, where Catherine shares her heart for encouragement and her vision for hope. Until next week, keep watching for that place where your heart is open to pursue the extraordinary.